someone cares for you.
Well, praise the Lord. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis. Welcome to the broadcast today. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to encourage you, if you're able, to get your Bible, get your notepad and a pen. Call a friend, call a neighbor. Let them know we're getting ready to study God's holy word. I want to teach a message today entitled The New Covenant. And for a subtopic, we're going to use the Ten Commandments. I want to go to the scriptures in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, and I want to read down a couple of verses, and I want to show you what the Bible has to say about the new covenant, and I want to show you that the Holy Ghost bore witness to this covenant and that the Lord spoke it. So I want to validate this teaching by the scriptures. Look at what the Word of God says, beginning at verse 14, Hebrews chapter 10. For by one offering hath he perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, notice the Holy Ghost had said this before, this is the new covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. Watch this. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. The new covenant is God taking the Ten Commandments off stones and placing them in our hearts and in our minds. And now our heart has become the ark that carries the covenant. Let's go now into the message. God bless you.
Okay. Revelation 22 and 14. Okay, blessed are they that do his commandments. Blessed are they that do his commandments. And that is the Ten Commandments. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life. This verse is telling us that if we do the commandments, we can go to heaven. We can have the right to the tree of life. And then if you read the verses around this verse here in other chapters, it talks about, and outside are nothing but dogs, whoremongers, adulterers, fornicators. In other words, those that broke God's laws didn't make it. But the ones that do God's commandments, the ones that kept God's commandments, are the ones that have the right to the tree of life. Okay? And it's amazing to me how the church overlooked the commandments of God for a long time and said that we don't live by the law. We don't need no law. But now everybody's shocked to find out that he was talking about the law of Moses, not the laws of God. The laws of God was different from the laws of Moses. And I had a lady call me today from Houston, and she requested the teaching on the new covenant. And she said, I have never understood the law of God versus the laws of Moses. And she said, it makes so much sense now. And she said, you mean to tell me we can live without sin? She said, sir, all of us sin. Everybody gonna sin. I said, sister, go to 1 John 3 and verse 4, and I want you to go there in verse 4. And when I began to minister to her, she said, oh, my God, I have never seen this before in my life. Okay, 1 John 3 and 4, watch this. Whosoever committed sin transgresses also the law. Then he said, for sin is the transgression of the law. Sin, what is sin? Sin is transgressing the law. Now we know what law he's talking about. Because for a long time, people didn't understand this, because you read scriptures and say we are not under law, but we are under grace. And people was totally confused about law. Well, why are there scriptures that say we're not under law, but we're under grace? Whenever you see scriptures that say we're not under law, we're under grace, he's talking about we're not under the law of Moses, the Mosaic law. He is not talking about God's laws. And so the way people sin is when they transgress the law of God. That's the holy commandments. Whenever you transgress the holy commandments, then it constitutes sin. Because this scripture says sin is the transgression of the law. Now, it's been a lot of teaching in the church for a long time to stay away from law. Anybody ever heard people preach that? Sister Deshondra done heard it. Nobody else heard that? Wow. Yeah, that too. You've heard that? We don't follow the Ten Commandments. But now watch this. It says sin is a transgression of the law. If you don't have law, you don't have sin. Let me back up, because I don't know if y'all got that. sin, the scriptures say sin is transgressing the law. If you don't have a law to transgress, you don't have sin. Okay. You see what I'm saying? So what constitutes sin? Violating God's law. The law he's talking about is the Ten Commandments. And I know people are going to say, well, you know, there's a scripture that say, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Yes, that's true too. But keep in mind that Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews 9, verse 14 and 15, it says that when we give our life to Jesus and we're born again, that Jesus become the mediator of the new covenant, and that our conscience have been purged from dead works to serve the living God. Now watch this. When you're born again, you have a pure conscience. And your conscience, if you violate something that's against God within those 10 laws of God, because those 10 laws are the basics, I'm telling you, they really are. And it can go deeper, but they are the basics. When you doing something, or when you going in a direction that displeases God, you have a conscience that's been cleansed and purged so you can serve God. And once you start going in a direction that your conscience bother you, it's telling you you're doing something that don't please God. And when you realize, wait a minute, my conscience bothered me with doing that. Once you realize it's not good to go in that direction, now to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, that becomes sin. See? You see, because there are things that the Ten Commandments cover that we may not be completely aware of. But your conscience know. When you're born again, your conscience clean, purged, so you can serve properly. You can serve God and never violate him if you don't violate your conscience and these 10 written laws. And if there's something regarding those laws that you're not aware of, then you depend on your conscience. And if you keep a clear conscience, you don't sin. And that's how simple it is to stay out of trouble with God. You keep a clear conscience and you don't violate what you know. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Okay, that's another way sin can come in. Then it says, whatsoever, Romans 14, 23, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, believe it or not, all of these sin verses is talking about the same thing. It really is. It's talking about the same thing. Because when you're born again, you've received the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, the faith of Jesus Christ never did anything that displeased God. Now, if you go outside your faith to do something, it's the same as going violating your conscience. Same thing. So it all comes back to one thing. Sin is no more than violating the law of God. All of that match. Now, I don't know if I explained it well enough for you to understand it, but I'm trying to show you that sin goes right back to violating God's will that he spoke to the human race in those 10 things. Because I want to teach all 10 of the commandments, and maybe Sunday I'm going to do 3 of them. And the next Sunday I'm going to probably do 3 more. And I'm going to keep teaching until I teach every one of them. Because I found out that the Bible said that this is the first principles of the oracles of God. When we first got saved, this was supposed to be the first thing. Now, y'all know a lot of us got some catching up to do. So I'm going to go over all the commandments, and I'm going to stay on them until we got them clear, because this was supposed to be the first thing we digest as believers and knowing how they apply in the new covenant. Go ahead, Judy.
I thank God when what you were saying that, you know, long we keeping the Ten Commandments and not going out the top Ten Commandments, God is faithful to show you. Even if you don't know.
If you don't know what they are connected to, then that's why you have a clear conscience mm-hmm. to tell you yay, nay. Mm-hmm.
So I just thank God I'm safe there.
You're safe inside of that. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, let me get it finished. Go to Exodus 20, But let me finish my story. This sister said, when I began to explain that to that sister, she said, oh, my God. Because she was thinking, well, we all going to sin. Everybody's sin. Well, everybody's sin if you got six. See, Moses had 613 laws. 613, 615, somebody people say. Probably 613. However many. Over 600 and some laws they was trying to keep to please God. Now, how many of y'all know you? How you going to remember all them laws? You see? But those laws came as a result of breaking 10 commandments. That was the 613 was the punishment for breaking 10. And in, within the 10, if you break one, you broke them all. Because they're all connected. They're in relationship. All of them are connected. And if you break one, you broke them all. But the punishment of the 613 laws came as a result of breaking the 10 laws. Now, what has happened in our modern day church is they have, you know, they have developed this mind, can't nobody stop sinning. Well, you got 613 laws called sin. That's why you think you can't stop sinning. Really and truly, this church got 6,000 and some laws. Because they think if you breathe wrong, you done sin. They got a misconception of what sin is. God is the one who defined what sin is. And when I began to lay that out to that woman, she said, oh, my God. She realized she had been hoodwinked. And the church has been deceived. You thinking sin is 600 and some laws, and sin is not but 10 things. But go to Exodus, and let me show you some. Exodus 20. All right. He started out in verse 3. He went all the way down and he was talking about the Ten Commandments. Verse 3 said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And then it says, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. And we know the Sabbath is Jesus and the way we keep it holy. And notice that commandment didn't say, God showed me this one day. Notice that commandment didn't say, keep the Sabbath day. It says, remember the Sabbath day. Because when God brought them out of Egypt, he explained to them why he made them keep a particular day. And then he told them from here on out, he adjusted the Sabbath day even in the old covenant. But this commandment said, remember it. What do you remember about the Sabbath? It was very sacred. It was very different from any other day. It was set aside. It was holy. So he said, remember it. Why? So you can keep it holy. Keep it holy is the subject. How do you keep it holy? Stay abiding in Christ. He's the Sabbath. Because Paul said in Colossians, we're not judged now by Sabbath days. Jesus said, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. Man was not made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. So what is that commandment about? Remembering how sacred that day God held that day. And so what do we get from that commandment? Remembering how sacred God is. Remembering how holy God is. And keep it holy. That's the commandment God trying to feed to us. And we'll get to that another time and work on it. But keep in mind, he spoke all of those commandments. And after he spoke all 10, then notice what he said. And all the people saw the thundering and the lightning and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou unto us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us. What happened here is they rejected God, because in another passage of scripture, God was really affected by this. He was wounded, if I can use such a word, without you thinking that he get wounded like we do. But he was hurt and he was offended at the fact that they didn't want no relationship with him. They wanted to, they said, well, we'll talk to Moses. We don't want to talk to God. And God didn't like that. Yeah. It really hurt his feelings. God's got feelings. And it offended him. So that's what they were saying. But now here's my point. It says, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you that his fear may be before you and that you sin not. Now, when God came, he came and he spoke his will. This is what I want from all my creatures that I made. 10 things, and he added no more. Bible says many times he didn't intend but only 10 things. This is what the Creator wanted for every created being. 10 things. Now keep in mind, here's the God of all the ages, know the end from the beginning, know everything. What would he have left out if he wanted to give you his heart what pleased him? What would he have left out? Nothing. When he spoke those 10 things, that was the sum total of everything that pleased him. And the wisest man, natural man that we know, he said he tried everything in the world and found out everything is vanity. The only true thing is fear God, keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man. That's the wisest man, Solomon. That was his conclusion. Okay? So my point is, I'm trying to labor here a little bit to show you that when the Creator came out and spoke these 10 things, name one thing he left out that he didn't include in those 10 things that would have pleased him. Everything that pleased him within those 10 things is what I'm after. Everything. And the reason the Bible said in Hebrews 5, starting at verse 12, that this be the first principles of the oracles of God, because when we're born again in the new covenant, now we need to understand how these 10 things apply to us under the new covenant. See, and when we understand these new things and understand that the whole New Testament is made up of these 10 things, and then we can see them all over the Bible. And Peter said that when you preach and when you speak, that you speak as in line with, parallel to, the oracles of God, which is the Ten Commandments. But nobody ever told me when I speak, make sure you're speaking in line with these oracles. But that's what the scriptures say. Amen. All right, let's see where we're going with all of this. Okay, my point is this. When he got through speaking the Ten Commandments, he said that you may fear me and sin not. These commandments keep us from sinning against God. Now it makes sense when 1 John 3, verse 4 and 5 said, sin is the transgression of the law. If you don't break neither one of these laws and you don't violate your conscience in a given day, you're not sinning. Now, how hard is that? That is not hard unless you're not saved, unless you're not born again. When you're born again, this becomes your nature. Okay, now let's travel a little bit. Romans. I'm gonna stay on this a while, and we're going to hammer on these Ten Commandments, because I'm telling you. And then if anybody got the audacity to call these Ten Commandments legalism, ask them if they married. Because say, go ask your wife is committing adultery legalism. Go ask your husband is committing adultery legalism. You ain't going to get away with that. How many of y'all wives know them men ain't going to get away with talking about this legalism? You don't do legalism. How many of y'all men going to let your wives get away with that? Okay, so this is not legalism. This is righteous living. Because I'm telling you, preachers done made this legalism. This is not legalism. Amen. And then it's law. Where in the world and where in the universe can you go where there is no law? Name one place. Is nowhere in the universe. Everywhere there's laws. Everywhere. All right, Romans. I want to show you something in Romans. Romans chapter 3 and start at verse 1. Now watch this. Paul was talking here, and he said, what advantage then has the Jews? Or what profit is there in circumcision? In other words, how was the Jews honored? And what profit is there in being a Jew? And then he's going to tell you. Then he said, much in every way. Now watch why he said the Jews was a special people. Because that unto them was committed the oracles of God. In other words, they were the first ones to receive God's oracles. Now the oracles, and I shared this with you before, he's talking about the Ten Commandments that God gave on Mount Sinai. Ten Commandments. Now, if you want to confirm, if you wasn't here when I taught it the last time, you want to confirm it, you go to Acts 7, verse 38 and 39. And when Stephen was preaching, Luke was writing a letter, and he was talking about how the fathers, when they was brought out of Egypt, received the lively oracles on Mount Sinai. He was talking about the Ten Commandments. So the oracles, when you see oracles in the Bible, he's talking about, for the most part, the Ten Commandments. All right. So the Jews had an advantage on everybody is because they was the first ones to understand and see God's handwriting and hear his voice regarding what he required. That's why they had an advantage on the whole world. And this is what Paul is talking about here. He said, much in every way, chiefly, mainly, because under them was committed the oracles of God. Now watch the scripture now. Let's pay attention to the scripture. Now, we're talking about the oracles of God. Now, watch the next verse. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make what? What is he calling the faith of God? The Ten Commandments is the faith of God. The Ten Commandments is the truth of God. The Ten Commandments is the righteousness of God. I don't have nothing but the Bible to prove it to you now. I may not get to all of it tonight. The devil done tried to embarrass God Ten Commandments. Almost slapped this in his face so much till I embarrass him. The Ten Commandments is the faith of God. The Ten Commandments is the righteousness of God. And when you look in the New Testament and said the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ, he's talking about Jesus Christ brought us into the righteousness of God. Remember the scripture? You go look this up. When it says that the Jews shall be saved by faith, but the Gentiles are saved through faith. Now, do you know what he's talking about? The Jews, when they kept the Ten Commandments, they were spared to be saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. And the Gentiles are saved through the commandments, because when they're born again, they can live them out. They're saved through. The Jews were saved by. It was talking about by, because see, before people were born again, all they had to do is embrace God's ordinances and commandments. And we see where some people that was not born again did embrace them. Luke 1, verse 5 and 6. Elizabeth, Zechariah kept all the commandments, kept all the ordinances, and before God, they was blameless, kept them all. And they were saved by faith. They were not born again, but because they honored God's laws, God kept them in paradise till the promise was given. I promise you these Ten Commandments open up the treasure chest of the Bible. And it helps you understand what the righteousness of God is. The righteousness of God is what God himself required from his creatures. And when he came out on Mount Sinai, he stepped out and told Israel, ultimately everybody, this is what I, God, want everybody to do. And those Ten Commandments was to benefit you. Show you how to love him and love everybody else. That's what they was about. That's all the Creator was saying in those Ten Commandments. And how to conduct yourself in society. That's all the Ten Commandments is. Hallelujah. And to not do them is to disobey the Creator who created you. Y'all quiet in here. I'm telling you something. I have come to realize understanding the old covenant and the new covenant and what it is, and understanding that all the apostles wrote from the basis of these 10 oracles, the whole Bible. The Ten Commandments is the treasure chest for the whole Bible. It's the treasure chest. It opens up the whole mind of God, all the scriptures. All right, but let's finish this right here. I want to show you something. But now I want you to see this. He said, much in every way, because unto them was committed the oracles of God. Now he's still in verse 3 talking about what he just stated here. What if some did not believe when he gave the oracles of God? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God or the oracles of God without effect? That's what he's talking about. The faith of God is the Ten Commandments. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, thou might be justified in thy sin and might overcome when thou art judged. Now I can show you, and I'm jumping around here because I let scripture interpret scripture. you're going to be judged by these 10 oracles. When you die and come before the judgment, these 10 oracles going to be there. Why? And this is going to be how God judge you. Now, let me stop and go. I done shared this with you guys before, but let me stop and go prove that. Go to James. I want to come back to this. Anybody appreciate learning about these oracles? Okay, James 2. Because I'm telling you, our tutors didn't teach us this. I know I wasn't taught it. Now, some of y'all might have been taught this in Sunday school, but I wasn't. I wasn't taught this. And I stumbled around in a lot of my Christian years till I got it right. Okay. James 2, verse 9. Because I'm getting ready to try to show you that when you die, you're going to be judged by these 10 oracles. All right. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and see, he's not talking about the law. You got to be able to know what law he's talking about when he bring up law in the New Testament. Right here, he's talking about the laws of God, the Ten Commandments. And he's going to make reference to them because he's going to say, commit adultery or kill, meaning the Ten Commandments, because you know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery is the 10 laws of God. So he said, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of it all. He that said, do not commit adultery, see, we're talking about the laws of God, not the law of Moses. He that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if you commit no adultery, yet if you kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So, now watch this. So speak ye. When we speak, we speak in the boundaries of these oracles. I'm not going outside of these oracles in my word, in my deed, in my actions. I'm going to stay inside these oracles because I know if I stay within the boundaries of these oracles, I won't displease the Creator. So speak ye and so do ye. In other words, he just made reference to the Ten Commandments. How many of y'all know thou shalt not commit adultery is a part of the Ten Commandments? How many of y'all know thou shalt not kill is a part of the Ten Commandments? Okay, so he's making reference to the Ten Commandments. We know the law he's talking about here is the Ten Commandments. He just mentioned two, but he's talking about the law, the Ten Commandments. And then the next verse says, so speak ye and so do ye. In other words, what you saying, how you living, what you doing is to honor these Ten Commandments. Now watch this. So speak ye and so do ye as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. And the reason he called the Ten Commandments the law of liberty in the New Testament is because as New Testament believers, we've been liberated to live them.
Well, praise the Lord. We're just about out of time. That's it for today. I thank you for tuning in. I want to encourage you to go to our website for more free teaching at www.someonecaresministry.org. That's www.someonecaresministry.org. When Apostle Lewis said, we love you, thank God for you. See you on the next
someone
broadcast.
Someone cares for you. Someone cares for you. Someone cares for you. His name is Jesus. Someone cares for you. Someone cares for you. Someone cares for you. His name is Jesus.